Well, good morning. It's so good to be worshiping with you today. You're going to have to pardon my voice a little bit. I'm getting over a cold. I sound a lot worse than I feel. I'm actually doing well, but I'm excited to be here today and to share the message with you all. As we transition to the message, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides, pull out the green sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is another way to communicate. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas. There's a spot where you can jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you so we can pray for you and support you on the journey. Now I want to invite you to join me in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come here today from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Our theme song for today is Scars by I Am They. Scars come in many different shapes and sizes. Every scar has a story. Here are a few examples.
I fell down on the sidewalk because I was playing Pokemon Go and not paying attention.
Do you have any scars?
I do.
It's a muffler burn.
Cooking.
I can't cook very well, so I have like a bunch of
oven burns.
Is this from making waffles?
By trying to grab a frog, these reeds would cut me, and I was like, wait, a reed can cut me open?
Do you have any scars?
Well, my brother pushed a swing into my forehead when I was a baby.
Razor scooter accident.
Any
scars? Yes, more scars than Frankenstein.
I got sliced.
Burnt. Elbowed.
Shaved a piece of my ankle.
Busted my chin.
Banged my head. Broke my foot.
Dropped the weight on my knee.
Got my chest pierced.
Bit by a dog.
Almost got my hand cut off.
Glass into wrist.
Barbed wire fence.
Stairs. Paper shredder.
Boulder. Belt buckle.
Motorcycle. Pipe.
Pole. Scooter.
I took a dollar out of the altar, tripped and hit the concrete, and it hit me dead in the face, and put that dollar back.
Do you have any scars?
Got one right here.
On my lip.
I scraped my knee on coral.
I have so many.
Back in the day, we didn't wear helmets and all that.
My team got ambushed and RPG hit a corner side of the wall.
I was trying to climb a shelf. Metal cut me.
Owie.
My labrum surgery from last November.
Do you have any scars?
I don't think I do.
Most of my scars are gone.
I was a very safe child.
My wounds are internal.
Do you have any scars?
I do have scars.
There we go.
I was shot. No, I'm just playing chicken pox. Yeah.
The crew who filmed this video are lucky they didn't interview me, because it would have taken a long time to show them all my scars. I have a lot of scars. I have physical scars that you can see. For example, I've been dealing with skin cancer for over 20 years now, and I have scars all over my body from places where doctors surgically removed cancer spots. But I also have emotional scars that you can't see. For example, I was bullied as a child. I grew up in Hawaii, beautiful place, but I stood out like a sore thumb. Most of my peers were of Asian or Hawaiian descent. They had dark skin, and they made fun of how white I am. And their teasing hurt. It left deep scars. I grew to hate how I looked and hate who I was. Although my skin doesn't tan well, I would spend hours out in the sun getting burnt just so that I was another color besides white. Obviously, I now regret that and am paying for my choices. Those are just a few of my scar stories. I've been a pastor long enough to know we all have scars. If I had time to interview this crowd, each and every one of you could tell me stories of how you've been hurt, either physically or emotionally. You might have been scarred by cruel words, abusive behavior, neglect, betrayal, disappointments, loss, upsetting events, illness, tragedy, poor choices of others, your own poor choices. We all have scars. When I reflect on my scars, my natural inclination is not to give thanks for them, as the chorus of our song today suggests. Really, I'm embarrassed and ashamed often of my scars. I'd much rather hide them or ignore them because they bring up painful memories. Yet with Jesus, we encounter such incredible good news that we can dare to give thanks even for our scars. Because Jesus entered into our world and became scarred himself so that he could transform our scar stories. And we can give thanks for scars because they reveal the heart of God and can be used by God for redemptive purposes in our world. We're going to look at a couple examples from the Bible and from today that are going to help us better understand and apply this good news. If you have a Bible or Bible app, I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 20, verses 24 to 27. And while you turn there, I'll briefly set the scene. God sent his son Jesus into the world. The world, however, rejected Jesus. He was unjustly, brutally crucified on a criminal's cross. He died and was buried. 3 days later, just as Jesus said, he rose again, and he appeared to his closest followers. One of his followers, a man by the name of Thomas, wasn't there when Jesus first appeared. And we get to hear his story in John 20. One of the disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound on his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. I want to stop here for a moment and give Thomas some praise. Normally, Thomas gets a bad rap for doubting, but I think he demonstrates tremendous faith simply by showing up. Keep in mind, Thomas was hurting. His beloved teacher had been arrested, tortured, killed. The very one Thomas thought was the Son of God, the Savior of the world, was gone. Worse, Thomas, just like all the other disciples, had abandoned Jesus in his time of need. Thomas was a wreck. His hopes had been dashed, his heart had been broken, his world had been turned upside down. And then he hears this crazy story that Jesus was risen from the dead and everybody saw it but him. Can you blame Thomas for doubting? And yet, he continued to show up. Think about that. He could have dismissed the story and walked away from God, but he didn't. 8 days later, they're all gathered again, and who's there? Thomas showed up. I am so proud of Thomas for showing up. That was a huge act of faith. And I felt like God impressed on my heart that there was going to be people who showed up in worship this morning who are just like Thomas. That you're a wreck. Your hopes have been dashed. Your heart's been broken. Your world has been turned upside down. You don't know what to think or to believe. And yet you showed up. You could have dismissed the story. You could have walked away from God. And yet here you are. You showed up. I am so proud of you for showing up. That's a huge act of faith. As we'll see, Jesus reaches out to meet us when we seek him. Let's pick up in John 20, 26. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." Thomas wanted to see Jesus' scars. He didn't ask to see the empty tomb, which they could have gone and visited. He wanted to see the scars. I relate to that request. So when I'm going through a difficult time, I want to see other people who have scars and survived to tell the story. I want to see other people who have struggled and somehow made it through to the other side. That gives me hope. And Jesus is the ultimate source of hope. Jesus shows Thomas his scars. These were the same scars that Jesus had when he was crucified. But now, they tell a different, transformed story. 3 days earlier, his scars told a story of hate. People hatefully lied about Jesus, called him names, made fun of him, spit on him, denied him, betrayed him, tortured him, killed him. Yet now, his scars tell a story of love. As we see that, actually, Jesus loved us so much, he was willing to go through that and give his life for us. And that he continues to reach out to us, even when we reject him and let him down. 3 days earlier, his scars told a story of hurt. He was fatally wounded. Yet now, they tell a story of healing. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was healed, brought to new life. 3 days earlier, his scars told a story of pain. Jesus experienced excruciating pain on the cross. Yet now they tell a story of purpose, that he endured all of that pain on the cross so that he could pay the punishment for our sin and save us from sin and death. 3 days earlier, his scars told a story of loss. He died, was buried. Yet now they tell a story of life, the hope of new life on earth and eternal life beyond death in heaven. 3 days earlier, his scars told a story of vulnerability. It looked like he had been overpowered, defeated. Yet now they tell a story of victory as our Lord and Savior rose victorious over sin and death. 3 days earlier, his scars told a story of failure as each and every one of his followers had failed him. And yet now they tell a story of forgiveness as Jesus reaches out his nail-scarred hands and offers peace to anyone, no matter who they are, what they've done, who are willing to receive his free gift of grace. 3 days earlier, his scars were trouble. Now they're a testimony. Jesus was able to transform his scar stories, and he can transform ours as well. We find this good news in Hebrews 2:18. Since Jesus himself has gone through suffering and temptation, he is able to help us when we are being tempted. Jesus became like us in every way. He took on the worst that the world can throw at us, and he came through the other end triumphant. In this way, Jesus is uniquely qualified to help us with our scars and transform our scar stories. The life of Paul is a compelling example of this good news. Paul was a leader in the early church. He traveled all around sharing the good news about Jesus, starting faith communities, raising up new leaders. And Paul faced severe persecution and opposition for his faith. After a while, Paul had a lot of scars. I imagine the crew who filmed that opening video coming up to Paul and saying, "Do you have any scars?" I can just picture Paul saying, "How much time do you got? Because I have a lot." In 2 Corinthians 11, 24-26, he lists his scars. Listen to this. 5 different times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And that's where they throw rocks at you, just to be clear. We're all on the same page here. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled many weary miles. I've faced danger from flooded rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, on stormy seas. I've faced danger from men who claim to be Christians, but are not. Paul keeps going. I'll stop there because I think you get the picture. This is a man who had a lot of scars, physical and emotional. But now listen to how Jesus transformed his scar stories. A little bit earlier in 2 Corinthians 4:8-10, Paul writes, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we do not give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again. If Paul were writing today, he might ask the band Chumbawamba to provide the soundtrack for his message. You know, I get knocked down, but I get up again. No, you're never going to keep me down. I see some of you. You know that song. But maybe Paul would have sung our song for today, Scars. Paul reached a point in his life where he actually became thankful for scars, because they provided an opportunity for God's transforming power to be at work in and through his life. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, Paul mentions a thorn in his flesh. Many believe it was a physical ailment. And he writes, three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. At the very beginning of 2 Corinthians, Paul explains how Jesus can transform our scar stories. And there's two words I want us to remember and apply. Rely, relay. Rely, relay. They'll make more sense as I share what Paul wrote. First, rely. Paul wrote, I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we'd never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God who can raise the dead. Paul was a self-sufficient man. He took pride in relying on himself for everything. His scars, however, brought him to a place where he needed to learn to rely on God for everything. And you know what he found? He found that God is more than enough for all that we would ever need. That God is the ultimate source of comfort, strength, healing, grace, guidance, wisdom. And just like Paul, when we rely on God, Jesus is able to transform our scar stories. He's able to turn hate into love, hurt into healing, pain into purpose, loss into life, vulnerability into victory, failure into forgiveness, trouble into a testimony. And here are some ways that we can rely on God. We can read scripture passages that relate to our scars. If you need help finding some, jot me a note on your response card and be happy to offer some suggestions. We can bring our scars before God in prayer. We can immerse ourselves in God's presence and perspective through worship. We can spend time in Christian community with other believers who can support us through the highs and lows of life. We can seek help from a pastor, a Stephen minister, a Christian counselor who can walk with us on our journey of healing. Make no mistake, healing takes time. The deeper the scar, the longer the healing process. My journey with skin cancer provides a perfect parallel. When the doctors do a little biopsy, it takes a couple of days to heal. When they perform a surgery, now that can take weeks, months, even years to fully heal. Some of us have really deep scars. It takes time to heal. Thankfully, we don't have to rely on our own resources for that journey. We can rely on God for everything that we need. The second word is relay. Think about a relay race where one person passes on to the next what they first received. Just keep that picture in your mind as I read this next passage from 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. Paul writes, all praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Did you catch how the relay works? That God comforts us as we rely on him, And then we're able to relay that same comfort to others who are going through trouble. I believe that our deepest pain can be the launching pad for our greatest calling. I'll say that one more time just so you don't miss it. Our deepest pain can be the launching pad for our greatest calling. First, God works in our pain as we rely on Him. And then God works through our pain as we relay God's help to other people in times of crisis. I've witnessed examples of relay in my own life. My pain has been a launching for my calling. Remember how I have scars from bullying? Well, as I relied on God for healing, God launched within me a passion for things like welcome ministry and small group ministry. Since I know how hurtful, cruel words and alienation can feel, I want everyone who comes into our community of faith to feel the love of God and get connected in caring relationships. Remember how I have scars from skin cancer. Like Paul, God hasn't taken that thorn away yet, but God has given me tremendous strength as I've relied on Him. As a result, I am better equipped to offer pastoral care to others who are facing illness and difficult challenges in their life. I've witnessed other inspiring examples of relay in our world. The band I Am They who wrote Scars, they recorded a video called Redemption Stories, in which they chronicle their own scars from addiction, divorce, depression, disappointment, and how they've experienced redemption as they've relied on God for help. And they wrote the song Scars to relay that same hope to other people who are struggling. Another powerful example comes from Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. June 17th marked the second anniversary of the tragic shooting there. You might remember how church members and family members of victims shocked the world as they offered love and forgiveness to the shooter. And they explained they were merely passing on the same radical love and forgiveness that they had first received from Jesus. And now, to honor the second anniversary, officials from Emmanuel AME said that cities all around the world are hosting events called Light of Hope. And they're teaming up to provide opportunities for youth and people of all ages to engage in meaningful conversation about unity among all races. And I've witnessed examples of relay right here in this church. It's people who have found help during grief, joined together to offer support groups for others who are grieving. As people who have found help going through divorce, have stepped up to lead divorce care and divorce care for kids. As people who have gone through difficult financial times, then went on to lead financial peace classes. As people who have found help overcoming addiction, led recovery groups to help others. This past week, I met with a woman who had gone through a really difficult time in her family. She felt broken and alone. Her small group rallied around her, and that made all the difference in the world. And now she's looking for opportunities for her small group to rally around other people in our church who are hurting. Powerful. One last story. There's a couple in our church who, a couple years ago, their marriage was falling apart. They had all kinds of scars and pain. Yet together, they relied on God for help. They attended worship together. They attended marriage ministry events together. They participated in small groups and retreats. And God has so transformed their marriage that now they're helping lead the marriage ministry. And in a month, they're going to be traveling with me on a mission trip to provide marriage training to couples in Honduras who are seeking to get married. Relay. The good news is that Jesus entered in our world and became scarred himself so that he could transform our scar stories. We can give thanks for scars because they reveal God's heart and can be used by God for redemptive purposes. Now leave us with three questions for reflection and application. What scars do you have? How can you rely on God for help? And how might you relay God's help to others? The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card and invites you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You could fill it out on your phone as well. If you use the paper, you can bring it up during the offering time. We're going to give you time with God and then move into our celebration of the Lord's Supper.